Welcome to our service for the third Sunday of Epiphany. Jan Struther was an English writer and broadcaster who worked in America a lot. As a hymn writer, she wrote children's hymns, three of which you may remember from your childhood. My favourite hymn of all as a boy was Struther's "When a Knight Won His Spurs in the Stories of Old." She also wrote a very simple nature hymn, "Daisies Are Our Silver, Buttercups Are Gold." Neither of them is sung much now, I think, but her most popular and deservedly enduring hymn is our first hymn today, "Lord of All Hopefulness, Lord of All Joy." I will arise and go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Another collect for the third Sunday of Epiphany. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, Renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, beginning at the first verse. There will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, first chapter, beginning at verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
And I will trust in your story, and
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Of all the places which the Gospel reached in New Testament times, one of the most interesting is the Greek seaport of Corinth. Corinth may not have been an especially important city in itself, but its significance to us is that St. Paul wrote at least three and possibly more letters to it from elsewhere in the Mediterranean. And the new Christian fellowship there comes alive for us as we see its problems. It's in the Corinthian correspondence, for example, that we have the Apostle's teaching about worship and the Holy Communion, his teaching about the resurrection, and perhaps above all, his teaching about love. Still, the most popular reading for weddings in church today is 1 Corinthians 13, St. Paul's great hymn to agape, the love of God. But you can see in today's reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that they had particular need in Corinth for teaching about Christian love. The first issue which Paul feels he must address is the divisions in the church there. For it's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers. Each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. The list of these affiliations to Paul, Apollos, and Cephas probably tells us something about the city of Corinth itself. Situated at the southernmost tip of Greece, it was a port of passage. If you were going from anywhere in the eastern Mediterranean to Italy, France, or Spain, you might well stop off at Corinth. We know from the New Testament and other sources that sea travel at this time was in the main coastal. It was safer and more certain to hop along the coast to travel from port to port. With the exception of Ephesus, most of the places to which we have letters from Paul are coastal cities: Philippi, Thessalonica, Rome, and so on. Corinth was a staging post on Paul's journeys, and it was for others too. We know for certain that both Paul and Apollos travelled through Corinth and spent some time there. Reference to Cephas here, that is to the Apostle Peter, probably suggests that Peter had been through Corinth too. We'd very much like to know the process by which Peter became established as the leader of the church in Rome, how and why he travelled there, but we just don't. We find him in Rome about 63 AD. At about the same time, Paul arrives in Rome as a prisoner for his trial there before the emperor. But we don't know whether Peter travelled there or was a prisoner, or indeed whether he ever was a prisoner before his execution. Apart from visiting personally, the other way that the first apostles could influence congregations directly was, of course, through their letters. We know that the apostles would sometimes send general letters meant to be read to more than one congregation and sent to a number of churches. It may be that Peter, who soon became the acknowledged leader of the whole Christian church, had influenced the church in Corinth in that way, sending them one of his general letters. We think, for example, that the first epistle of Peter in our New Testament may be a general epistle designed especially for new Christians who were about to be baptized, wherever they might be in churches. Like newborn infants, Peter writes, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. We spoke about that last phrase a week or two ago. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Probably, for the Christians at Corinth, as it is for us today, they might call themselves followers of their favourite teacher, Paul or Apollos or Peter, if it was under his ministry that they had first tasted that the Lord is good. It might be the moment when you were converted, as it was for St. Paul himself, or it might be the first moment when a faith you've known about becomes personal and real for you. Either way, the moment when you first get the real taste of the Lord's goodness will always stay with you, and you will always be grateful to the person under whose ministry it happened, if there was one, of course. The Lord can find his own ways to speak to us. In New Key, we have especially the story of young Florrie Evans, who in an evening meeting in Capel Tabernacle in 1904 made a simple, heartfelt declaration of love for Christ, raving cari Iesu Grist am holl galon, I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. That is the most famous moment in Florrie's life, and is usually referred to as the beginning of the great 1904 revival in Wales. We pay perhaps too little attention to its place in her own personal history. She became, from that evening, a revivalist and missionary herself, first in Wales and then in England, later in India, though ill health and other difficulties cut short her time there. The minister at Capel Tabernacle on that first wonderful evening was the Reverend Joseph Jenkins. Florrie later shared in the missionary work of the Reverend Evan Roberts and of Reverend Seth Joshua in Wales and in England before going on to India. But her subsequent history shows us that she would never have said, I follow Jenkins or I follow Roberts. Her heart, as she'd said at the beginning, was given wholly to Christ. In Anglican churches, perhaps the most common occurrence of the kind of division Paul refers to here is among people who feel themselves attached to different vicars, among the succession of vicars whom they've known in a particular church or churches. It's human nature, of course, that we'll get on better with some vicars than with others, and that some vicars express the faith in a way that best suits our own spirituality and understanding. But it goes without saying, or at least it ought to, that we are followers of Christ, and our whole heart should be given to him. Vicars, like Tennyson's Brook, may come and vicars may go, but Christ goes on forever. And that is part of the enduring appeal of the Corinthian correspondence. It shows us that the kind of issues we sometimes experience in our own churches have always been part of the church's life from its very earliest days. There have always been people and preachers in the church that other people, and indeed other preachers, find it hard to get on with. All of that was part of the experience of these new Christians in Corinth, and just as they did, we need to hear the Apostle Paul's teaching about love. The love which is patient and kind, not envious or boastful, not irritable or resentful, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Whatever teaching we follow, whoever's teaching we follow, this too never changes, and this too is eternal. Amen.
Ransom.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Helen, but we begin with the Lord's Prayer. Entad yr anoeten yn y fydd sancteiliad enw, deled y dernas gwneled y wyllus, megis yn y nef, felly ar y ddear hefyd. Dyron ni heddiw ein bar y benyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddeon ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwen ni brofedigaeth, eithi gwared ni rhag drwg, canu sydd o ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Friends in Christ, as we remember with gratitude all that God has done for us, let us bring to his love the needs and concerns of the Church and of the world. Gweddion dros Grisnogion ar hyd a lled y byd, yn enwedig lle mae dioddef, perygl ac erledigaeth. Rydym yn dal i weddio dros ein hesgob Joanna, Eileen ein harch ddeacon, John ein deon ardal leol, a thros Matthew, Judith, Heilwen, a phawb sydd yn cyfrannu tuag at fywyd ein heglwysi. Llanwach gweinidogion gyda'r ysbryd glân, er mwyn iddynt ledeinu'r efengl a gweinyddu'r cymun sanctaidd, fel y cawn fyw gyda'n gilydd yng ngoleini dy gariad di. Arglwydd, yn dy drigaredd, gwrando ein gweddi. Compassionate God, you hear the cries of all who are in trouble or distress. Accept our prayers for those whose lives are being affected by global warming and climate change, here in Britain and further afield, including drought-hit Somalia and flood-hit Pakistan. Strengthen them in their hour of need. Grant them perseverance and courage to face the future, and be to them a firm foundation on which to rebuild their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, you called Abraham to be the father of many nations, and so we pray for the nations of our world and their leaders. We continue to pray for peace in your world, and especially for those involved in the process of reconciliation and bridge building between peoples, cultures, or nations. We ask that satisfactory solutions can be found to bring an end to all the industrial disputes that are currently affecting our country. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, you called the apostles to be ambassadors for Christ and gave them the power to heal. Help us to bring healing by our visits, our care, and our prayers, that we may strengthen the spirits of those we love, especially in times of sickness or distress. We continue to remember in our prayers at this time Richard Ivanek, and hold close in our hearts those known personally to us who are also suffering. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, be with us in our mourning as we pray for all who are coming to the end of their journey here on earth, and for all those who have died and now rejoice in the fullness of eternal life. And in a moment's silence, we remember those who have recently passed away. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we rejoice in the call to belong to the Church, to believe in the Gospel, and to be united with the successors of your Apostles. May we be guided by your light and love in all that we do and say. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
And finally, our Epiphany blessing. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you now and always. Amen.